Man, I'll tell you, every once in a while, we hit on a topic that just has people coming to the text line in droves. Welcome to the show this morning. So if you're just joining us, we just had a California restaurant owner by the name of Yo-Yo Shui on our show. Yo-Yo owns a restaurant, a Chinese restaurant in California, a city called Foster City. He has had to basically put up notices in his restaurant and make some public statements about rules of his restaurant, basically telling parents that if their children don't behave and it results in a damage to restaurant property, they will be charged. Not a fine, but they will be charged the replacement cost of whatever is damaged. And he gave some examples, carving initials in a table, intentionally or negligently breaking a cup. And he drew a distinction, by the way. This isn't about an accidental cup break, which we all have seen happen. Maybe we've all done it. I've done it. I've knocked over a cup by mistake. It fell on the floor and it broke. I didn't get charged. And he said you wouldn't get charged in his restaurant for that either. This is when kids who are clearly under the control and supervision of their parents are not being supervised. And his point is, we need the parents to take responsibility. Now, on the text line, some people are applauding it. Some people are not. Ben from Calgary says, for the people who would disagree, would they rather the restaurant ask them to leave and not be able to come back? The other hand, though, Taylor in Saskatoon says, it's a good thing I don't live in California. I don't think I would go to that guy's restaurant. Absolutely, you have to take responsibility for your kids. And I think if your kid doesn't struggle with a disability, then maybe, yeah, it's easy to deal with them. It makes sense. But it's very situational. Children with disabilities, with, for example, ADHD, sometimes it's very, very tough for parents to completely have full control over their kids. And so this borders on discriminatory behavior. Well, that's the other side of this. There are those people, and I saw a text earlier, I can't find it right now, but I think it was from Roy, if I'm not mistaken, who said, let kids be kids. Like, really. Just let kids do their thing and don't worry about it. He pushed back in that interview, if you listened, he pushed back on that statement saying, no, that's not the way to go. Let's go to Paul in Regina. What do you say, Paul? Is it up to parents to make sure that kids are behaving? And if something were to break or be damaged in a restaurant, should parents be expected to pay for it?
I've got a statement that'll fix everything. I'm a parent of three grown-up children, and I would say you want your kids to be kids. Or if you have kids with disabilities or anything like that, let them be kids. Take your lunch, take your food into go containers and take them to the park and let the kids be kids in a park. That solves everything.
It's an interesting point because he says in the statement, like the restaurant actually posted this, said Shea Shui, that's the name of the restaurant, is a family-friendly restaurant. However, we are not a playground. Please ensure children remain seated at all times and respectful of their fellow guests and the dining environment. 1-877-332-8255. Your thoughts on this? Not a restaurant, but in the condo complex where I live, a trio of unsupervised Dennis the Menaces were climbing on the natural gas meters. If they had broken a meter without a catastrophic explosion that leveled my home and killed my pets and possibly me, it would have been a $50,000 emergency call-out fee and evacuation within a few block radius. Call me Mr. Wilson, but I was not going to pay the bill because the onus is on the parents. People that are saying let their kids have fun, then go to a restaurant like McDonald's. This is Ralph in Prince Albert. Like, there are some restaurants that are absolutely geared to letting the kids play and have fun, and McDonald's is maybe just one example. But not a place where people are going out to have a normal, quiet supper. That's Ralph in Prince Albert. 1-877-332-8255. Here's a text from Carndiff. I would pay extra to go to a kid-free restaurant or store. I think this owner has a great idea, and more should be about this type of business. Good for him. I raised my kids the old-fashioned way. If they misbehaved, they were taken outside. Yeah, that would have happened in the Bray household as well. Although I don't feel like maybe this is sounding generational, but number one, it was quite a few years ago when I was a kid. And number two, we were on the farm. So we didn't go out for supper a lot. It was a big deal. I mean, if we went to the city and we could go to McDonald's or a place like that, it seemed like a big deal. So as much as I know my parents were strict and would have demanded behavior in a restaurant, I actually can't think of multiple times when we, back in the day, went out to eat. Marina in Regina says, I totally agree with the restaurant owner. Nothing is more annoying in a restaurant than when kids are running around and screaming and I'm paying good money to sit down and try and have a nice meal. Sandra, my daughter and her husband took their 6 children to a restaurant in Ohio. The waitress treated the family because of the children's good behavior. It's such a shame that good behavior is so rare that a waitress feels she has to reward it. Sandra in Regina, thank you for that text. And Wendy in Regina is kind of extending this even outside of a restaurant. She points out she volunteers with the Riders Party in the Park. And she says, as an older person, I'm amazed at what some parents are thinking. We have had to do crowd control, stop misbehavior, misuse of the property. It's a free service, but I feel like as a volunteer, I'm protecting property and also parenting your children. 1-877-332-8255 is the number. Happy to hear your thoughts. Why don't we stick on this topic for one more call? I want to grab Shirley in Greenwater Provincial Park this morning. Shirley, thanks for calling in. You've got a story for me?
I sure do. My husband and I were traveling a few summers ago, and we were in the city that has all the wood carvings. I can't think of the name of it right now. It's in Alberta.
Okay.
Anyway, we had been out and about all morning walking and driving, looking at all the wood carvings, and about 1 o'clock we decided to pop into an A&W and have a bite to eat. We took a table, we ordered our food, and we took a table, and my husband and I were trying to talk about which carvings we had missed, and there was something just bothering me. I couldn't hear, and I happened to look across, and there was about a 5-year-old girl and a 7-year-old boy. And they were fighting over mom's phone. And this fight proceeded to the point where they were on the floor, kicking, biting, scratching, screaming. And finally I turned to them and I said, stop it. And they both looked at me. And just then mom's phone rang. And the boy answered the phone and he talked on it for a moment. And then he took the phone up to his mom at the counter. She took the call. And when she hung up, I seen the boy talking to his mom. And the mom turned around and she just glared at me. And
How dare you tell her kids to stop it?
Yeah. I pointed to myself and I nodded yes in agreement. And when she got her food and she took the tray to the table beside us where the children were sitting now. Now they were behaving. And she said, how dare you? How dare you say anything to my children? This is a family-friendly restaurant. And I said, yes, it is a family-friendly restaurant, but your children were down on the ground kicking, screaming, fighting, pulling hair, and biting. And she says, I don't need to hear this, and we are not sitting beside someone like you. And I said, by all means, please take a table across the restaurant because I don't want to sit beside your children.
This is part of the problem, and we've seen this. I think we all probably have examples where it's an opportunity for a parent to say, thank you very much. I'm sorry that this happened. I'm going to have a chat with my children. We'll talk about acceptable behavior in public. But no, that doesn't happen. I don't want to pull us too far off topic, but I have lots of examples. I remember taking a 15-year-old kid home to her parents after she had shoplifted $250 worth of makeup. Okay. I'm the police officer. We walk up to the door. Of course, I'm taking her back home to her mom and dad. Her mom and dad are both there. I got a 10-minute lecture from dad of how I'm wrecking his daughter's life by charging her with theft. And there'd been multiple opportunities where she had been given breaks for shoplifting in the past. This wasn't a small amount. It was $250 worth of makeup. So yeah, we did. We charged her. We issued her an appearance notice. But the point is, whether it's in that situation or a restaurant, parents defending and getting upset about someone How dare you make an allegation that my child is anything less than perfect? It's fascinating. Okay, I know Kevin has been waiting for a long time, so I'm going to grab this call. Kevin in Regina, we're going off topic. What have you got for me on open lines today, Kev?
Hopefully I get this out. So I want to clarify a couple of things before I get to my argument. I might need a bit of time, Evan.
Go ahead.
I agree with you that the bells are different than the call to prayer in that, you know, the bells signify that there's a religious worship service going on. If you want to come and practice your religion, if you so choose to, you can, right? Whereas the call to prayer is a proclamation that declares a God, says that God is Allah, and that's the only God, okay? So that's important in my discussion here. And then also, With the fact that City of Regina police will be issuing a permit, okay, you know, in my opinion, that becomes basically sanctioned by government, in other words, okay? At least it has the appearance of such. So that it almost establishes a religion, right? And when you have a power such as a government or a police force place a particular belief in you know, up there, there becomes an indirect coercive pressure to conform to the prevailing, air quotes, you know, officially approved religion. And this is where I disagree with Laura Lee, and this is where, you know, the argument of the school prayer, and even more so, the argument of the Lord's Day law, is very relevant, and everything's been answered here as to why it would be unconstitutional for her to allow it to happen. And I want to present that argument here if you give me the time. And that is, the Canadian Charter provides us with the freedom of conscience. Okay? And religion. And that was determined and expressed by the Supreme Court of Canada, what that amounts to, what the nature of the freedom of religion is in Canada. According to the Supreme Court of Canada, written, the essence of the concept of freedom of religion is the right to entertain such religious beliefs as a person chooses, the right to declare religious beliefs openly and without fear of hindrance or reprisal, and the right to manifest religious beliefs by worship and practice or by teaching and dissemination. Key here, provided that such manifestations do not injure his or her neighbor or their parallel rights to hold and manifest beliefs and opinions of their own. Okay? Further, it goes on to state that freedom can only be, you know, characterized by the absence of coercion and restraint. Okay? So, you know, such blatant forms of compulsion as direct commands to act or refrain from acting or pain or sanction. Coercion includes indirect forms of control which determine or limit alternative courses, key here, of conduct available to others. Okay? And then, therefore, basically, and this is Justice Dixon, Supreme Court Justice Dixon, Superior Supreme Court, the freedom of religion protects the freedom of non-believers to abstain from participation in any religious practice. He further wrote, equally protected are expressions and manifestations of religious non-belief and refusal to participate in religious practice. It may perhaps be that freedom of conscience in religions extends beyond these principles to prohibit other sorts of government involvement in matters of having to do with religion. I just want to add here also, in that same decision, what is it? It's Regina versus Big M Drug Mart. It was on the Lord's Day Act, where they used to have closed on Sunday. They emphasized that any coercion is unconstitutional. It matters not whether a coercive burden is direct or indirect. Here's the key part coming up. Intentional or unintentional. Foreseeable or unforeseeable. All coercive burdens on the exercise of religious beliefs are potential within that armpit.
Okay, so what is, out of all of that, Kevin, I mean, there's everything you're saying, I'm agreeing with. There are some constitutional protections.
Out of all that, what comes of it, it means that you can't force others to have to listen to the proclamation that Allah is God and the only God.
Okay, so then the city of Regina needs to make bylaw changes to prevent that from happening.
Well, no, they don't. All that has to happen is that the city police don't grant a permit based on the protection of people's constitutional rights, which is their job to protect and serve.
Okay, so I mean, your point is well taken, Kevin, but the problem is that this is bigger than a police decision. And I mean,
Lauralee Davies, the chief of the Regina Police Service, even said on this program, she's not really sure why they're the ones that are approving amplification permits anyway. I mean, that's maybe a bit of a side red herring to this topic, but, you know, why does that have to fall upon the police if you want authority to have, you know, a party with a loudspeaker or whatever the case may be? Nonetheless, this is something that city council, like other cities in Canada, have dealt with. They are going to have to deal with and make a decision, and that will give police the authority to direct and make the decision as they go. But, Kev, I appreciate your passion and your comments. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We're going to continue with open phones. By the way, at 10 o'clock, don't forget Bugs and Hugs. So if you are on the phone, don't go away. We are going to get to you momentarily here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. I want to jump right back onto the phone line. We were talking about the restaurant in California where we had the owner of the restaurant, a fellow by the name of Yo-Yo Shui, on. He has basically developed some criteria at his restaurant that if children, as a result of being unruly, disrespectful, negligent, careless, break something in his restaurant, then you as a parent are going to be charged. This isn't about accidental breaks. This is about kids basically running wild. And he had a series of problems. He gave some examples on the show. We're asking the question, is this acceptable for a restaurant to expect parents to parent their children? Most people are saying, absolutely, this is the way I was raised. However, some people are bringing up reasons why maybe it's not quite that cut and dry. In fact, I want to grab, Taylor is on the line from Saskatoon. Taylor, welcome to the conversation. Your thoughts?
Yeah, thanks, Evan. I appreciate you taking my call. I want to mention just one thing. I do agree for the most part, like, you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes, right? And anyone arguing with policies on you should give their head a shake, because you were the police chief for how long? Like, let's be honest. But I'm going to say, too, really, like, what would this guy do in California if they had somebody with a disability that came into his restaurant? And they can't handle their emotions. They can't, I mean, let's face facts. That is the reality of life right now. So what is he gonna, you know, shun this kid because this kid's struggling? I understand. And if the parents are trying everything they possibly can to do the right thing for that kid, but is he still gonna go out of his way to make it difficult on those parents? That's the question I wanted to ask you. And then the second thing I wanted to say, cause you don't got too much time. I want to mention a bug because I know I'm about to call in. Why heck did Corey Mace and Mark Mueller, that bugged the heck out of me last game?
You cut out right at the good part. What were you bugged about that they did, Taylor?
I'm sorry. Why would Corey Mace and Mark Mueller not play Tommy Stevens at the very end of the game to get that darn touchdown with 3 yards to go and two downs, Kevin? That's the biggest bug of this whole weekend.
Okay, well, that's a bug that we'll take into Bugs and Hugs, and I appreciate your perspective on the restaurant one as well. Just because we are going into Bugs and Hugs doesn't mean we have to abandon the restaurant topic altogether. I know I've still got some people online that want to talk about it, but Bugs and Hugs is next. Phone and text lines stay open for you here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.